from KQED.
This is the California Report podcast. I'm Penny Nelson. The Trump administration's practice of separating families at the border has been all over the news lately, and it seems like everyone's weighing in. Today, we are continuing our coverage of that practice, which stems from President Trump's so-called zero-tolerance immigration policy. Top Democrats from California are calling on Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen to resign. KQED's politics editor Scott Schaefer reports.
Over the course of a few hours Monday, Senators Kamala Harris and Dianne Feinstein, along with House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, each called on Secretary Nielsen to step down over the policy that's separating children from their parents who cross the border illegally. The practice has led to nearly 2,000 children being taken from their parents in the past 6 weeks, and it's led to a growing bipartisan chorus of criticism. At least two Republican senators and former First Ladies Laura Bush and Michelle Obama have also criticized the policy. President Trump and Secretary Nielsen continue to blame the situation on Democrats, although the policy is clearly his alone. Critics say the administration has no plan to track and reunite families after they're separated, aside from a hotline for parents set up by the federal government. For the California Report, I'm Scott Schaefer.
Meanwhile, in San Diego yesterday, about a dozen members of Congress toured a migrant shelter for children and used the event to comment on family separation. KPBS Fronteras reporter Jean Guerrero has the story.
The Congress members toured a migrant shelter for boys called Casa San Diego, where 10% of the children were separated from their parents. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi says the Trump administration is psychologically damaging these children.
Do they think these children deserve less than their children do in terms of care and love? And so this is not an immigration issue. This is a humanitarian issue. It's about the children.
Congressman Juan Vargas also spoke. He led the tour with the Congressional Hispanic Caucus.
The policies that we have on the separation of children from their parents is immoral. It's wrong. No matter what you say about it, it's certainly not biblical.
They say only President Trump has the power to put a stop to this practice. Children have been separated from their parents at the border before. But now it's happening by the hundreds each month due to a new zero-tolerance policy that criminally prosecutes anyone who crosses the border illegally. It's leading to the creation of new detention centers for the children. For the California Report, I'm Jean Guerrero in San Diego.
Meanwhile, congressional Democrats were not the only federal officials in the Golden State yesterday. Ivanka Trump joined Republican Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy for a fundraiser in the Central Valley. KVPR's Laura Tsetsui brings us that story from Fresno.
The pair were the guests of honor at a private luncheon for Protect the House, a group committed to keeping GOP control of Congress. The lunch took place at the offices of a well-known Fresno businessman, Richard Spencer, a construction magnate. Trump and McCarthy arrived with a motorcade of Fresno police officers. The procession didn't stop until the cars were within a gated lot next to the headquarters of Spencer's company, Harris Construction. Local media waited outside, hoping to talk to McCarthy and Ivanka Trump, but they walked straight into the building. I tried to get in, but security turned me away.
Hey, you turn around, get right back out.
There's no chance of even, like, observing or from afar?
Turn around, go
not
right
at
back
all.
Out. Appreciate it.
All right.
The event was off limits to the media, but that didn't stop a small group of around 15 to 20 protesters from gathering outside. They held signs that said, "How would your kids do in a cage?" and "Keep families together." Stephanie Dominguez-Walton drove all the way from the Bay Area to protest the separation of families at the border.
The fact that she has the gall to come here after standing beside her father and acting like this isn't the most atrocious. This nation still is mortified by what we did with Japanese internment camps.
After the lunch, McCarthy and Trump departed Fresno for another GOP fundraiser in Los Angeles. For the California Report, I'm Laura Tsetsui in Fresno.
KQED has reached out to many California lawmakers on the Republican side of the aisle, and we've heard nothing back. But California's Republican candidate for governor says he does not support separating children from their parents at the U.S.-Mexico border. He would not comment on Democratic efforts in Congress to address the issue. From KQED's Politics and Government desk, Katie Orr has more.
Businessman John Cox, who has been endorsed by President Donald Trump, had hoped to talk with reporters about his efforts to overturn the state's new gas tax. Instead, he was pressed for his thoughts on the Trump administration's practice of separating families who are caught trying to enter the country illegally.
I'm against separating parents and children. I'm a father. I have four daughters. That's a congressional problem. And I hope that we get a congressional solution very soon. I'm about solutions.
But Cox declined to comment on a Democratic bill in the U.S. Senate that would prohibit such separations. The Trump administration says it's just enforcing current law. For the California Report, I'm Katie Orr in Sacramento.
So elected officials are not the only ones weighing in. Evangelicals, who largely supported the president during the 2016 election, are too. KQED's Michelle Wiley has the evangelical perspective.
Orderly and lawful processes are good in themselves. Consistent and fair application of the law is in itself a good and moral thing, and that protects the weak and protects the lawful. That's the verse from Romans 13 that Attorney General Jeff Sessions used last week to justify the Trump administration's zero-tolerance immigration policy. But many religious groups would beg to differ and have started speaking out. In a press call on Monday, a group of prominent women from the evangelical immigration table said many of them were horrified at the idea of women being separated from their children. Kelly Rosati is with the Sacramento-based National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference.
Many people who believe very strongly in a secure border are also letting their voices be heard that this policy of separating children and families and traumatizing young children intentionally, it is unjust, it is immoral, and it's inhumane.
Recently, even prominent evangelical Trump supporters have voiced concerns, including Franklin Graham, the son of the late evangelical preacher Billy Graham. Those of Catholic faith have also taken issue with the policy. Father John Peterit is with the Archdiocese of San Francisco.
The children have now entered into a foreign land. They are not familiar with that, and it's important that the mother be with them.
On Monday's press call, Trillia Newbell with the Southern Baptist Convention said God established the family as the central building block, and to split it apart runs counter to Christian values. For the California Report, I'm Michelle Wiley.
So Doris Meisner served as commissioner of the U.S. Immigration and Naturalization Service under Presidents Clinton and George W. Bush. In 1997, she was the one who signed a consent decree called the Flores Agreement to settle a lawsuit about detaining children. She says it's now being used by the Trump administration in a way that was never intended. KQED's Polly Stryker spoke with her and asked her to explain.
It's the decision in which the government agreed that children would be kept in the least restrictive setting and they would be kept for the shortest possible time in order to make it possible for them to be united with a parent or a family member or some other foster care situation.
So forgive my ignorance. What happened to the Flores decision? I mean, is it being honored?
It's in place. That is one of the things that this administration characterizes as a loophole.
I don't understand. If it's in place, how can it be a loophole?
Because they characterize it that way.
Does that mean that they don't have to keep kids in the least restrictive settings? Or what do you...
They are bound by it. And they believe that, you know, that's part of what's taking place now. That's ultimately why they're separating children from parents, because they are bound by the practice of keeping children in the least restrictive settings. With a policy of zero tolerance at the border and prosecuting adults, that means that adults go into detention. And if they keep their children with them, their children would be in detention for weeks or months at a time, which would put them in violation of this Flores settlement. So therefore, they're separating the children from the parents.
Huh.
So, you know, when they say, which they do, that they don't have a policy of separating children from the families, that is technically true. What the policy is to prosecute parents and keep them in criminal detention while they're being prosecuted, which then necessitates taking the children from the parents in order to comply with Flores and with the legislation that President Bush signed in 2008 that has to do with unaccompanied children.
But that was not the original intent.
course not.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I don't think so. I mean, that's the story.
Okay. Well, Ms. Meisner, thank you so much for talking with me.
Sure.
Doris Meisner is a senior fellow with the Migration Policy Institute, a nonpartisan think tank in D.C. that studies the movement of people worldwide. And before we move on from family separation, Governor Jerry Brown's office says he still stands by a statement he made in January, where he called the practice callous and insensitive. Let's go now to a different immigration story. This one in the Central Valley. A surveillance video has been obtained by KQED that shows the moments before two farm workers fleeing Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, crashed their car and died in March. Central Valley reporter Alex Hall says the video contradicts statements ICE agents made to police about their involvement in the incident.
The video was captured by a home security camera halfway between where ICE pulled over Santos Hilario Garcia and his wife Marcelina, and where minutes later they flipped their truck. ICE agents told police that when Hilario Garcia fled, they followed him, but were not in pursuit with emergency lights. The video shows the couple's car driving at a faster rate than other traffic. 10 seconds later, ICE vehicles enter the frame. Both have emergency lights on. In April, police asked the Kern County District Attorney to bring criminal charges against the ICE agents for lying to police.
It appears to me, from my review of the surveillance video, that both agents were obeying traffic rules.
District Attorney Lisa Green said her review found the video did not depict a pursuit, and therefore there was no evidence the agents had lied.
Were the agents following the Ford? Yes. Were they speeding to catch up to the Ford? No.
Whether or not there's an intervening car or whether or not they're going a certain distance from the fleeing vehicle is irrelevant. Their intent is to apprehend, and that creates a pursuit.
Jeffrey Alpert is a professor of criminology and expert in police pursuit driving at the University of South Carolina.
It makes no difference if the officers are right on the bumper or safely behind. The goal is to apprehend the suspect. So that is a pursuit as well. And if they have their lights and sirens on, there's no question.
A spokesman for ICE would not confirm what the agency's policy is on vehicle pursuits or that the agency even has a policy. Alpert says, regardless of interpretations, if a fleeing suspect looks in his rearview mirror and sees flashing lights, he'll assume he's being pursued. For the California Report, I'm Alex Hall in Fresno.
And finally, the U.S. may soon have an approved prescription drug derived from marijuana. But the new cannabis-based medication's worrying some parents who already rely on medical marijuana in a different form to treat their children's epilepsy. Those parents want assurance that existing medical marijuana markets will not be negatively affected by the new drug.
Support for the California Report comes from Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems. The Wesley Foundation, improving the lives of California's children and youth at risk. And College Futures Foundation, more graduates for a thriving California. Learn more at collegefutures.org.
And that's the California Report podcast for Tuesday, June 19th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Penny Nelson. I hope you have a great day.